National Gallery Podcast.
This is the National Gallery Podcast, and I'm Miranda Hinckley. First up, a much-anticipated exhibition opens this month as part of our Renaissance Spring, Veronese, Magnificence in Renaissance Venice. This is the first time that the great 16th-century Venetian master has had his own show in the UK, and with masterpieces coming from all around the world, it looks set to be dazzling, not least because Veronese's paintings are immense, works on a grand scale that will take up the full height and length of the gallery's largest walls. One of the artist's greatest admirers is National Gallery director Nicholas Penny. He told Lea Caribbean why when they met ahead of the exhibition opening in front of Veronese's Family of Darius before Alexander, a vast, brilliantly coloured painting that depicts the meeting between Alexander and the family of his defeated enemy, the Persian emperor.
Veronese was a great decorator. And, you know, I know that if you say that, it sounds really disparaging. But why not? Why shouldn't artists work together with great architects to create magnificent interiors? Veronese was an artist who probably first made his reputation as a fresco painter, decorating the great new villas of the Veneto. He came from a building architectural background. His friends were architects. And he was very, very accomplished at the painting of architecture, as you can see from this picture. And as a subject, this subject seems first to have been painted by Veronese himself earlier as a fresco decoration for a villa. The figures in the painting are very large, and they make you, as you look at them, feel larger yourself. So it made you feel better and bigger as a human being. And I think that's probably the one element in the painting which, you know, we've lost today, because although it looks splendid in the semi-palatial interiors of the National Gallery, it presumably was designed very, very carefully to fit the interior of a villa. But that's an interesting point about it. It is actually one of the few paintings, I think, in the National Gallery which comes extremely close to Renaissance fresco decoration.
And just to give us a brief taste of what visitors can expect, I thought I'd ask you about one of the great loans to the exhibition, the Louvre's Supper at Emers of about 1555, and it's an early work by Veronese, but it's already so wonderfully original and brilliant and sort of so Veronese.
Yes, well, Veronese liked painting slightly more people than was absolutely necessary in almost any composition. Faced with the subject of Christ at the Supper at Emmaus, you only need Christ, two disciples, and a bewildered innkeeper. That's it. And an artist like Poussin, I think, probably would have been very distressed to have any more, because it would have reduced the drama. But actually, there was a convention in Venice, which was a relatively recent convention, I think, of showing the whole family witnessing a religious episode or being presented to the Virgin or whatever. But what's so comic about this is the Supper at Emmaus is going on, and it's not just the gentleman who commissioned the picture, probably, and his wife, but all the uncles as well. Because the Venetian families, you know, they were organized, so they shared a palace of different floors and so on, occupied by different parts of the family. And that's what you see in this picture, actually, if you analyse it, if you try and work out who.
But children too, and pets.
And pets, yeah. I mean, this is, of course, very, very nice. And Veronese, you feel he's a very good-natured person. His idea of the human family always includes women, of course, and always includes children. He's very, very happy people have daughters, which, of course, they weren't necessarily happy about themselves, and then dogs. But it's a family picture, painted, I think, probably for those great long, the portico, the long central room in a Venetian palace, which was used for dining. So that's a nice thought, too. You do feel that there is something very agreeable about this idea. It's a really quintessential and exceedingly original picture by Veronese. It does epitomise much what was special about him as an artist, and it is fantastically generous of the Louvre to lend it.
Nicholas Penny talking about Veronese's Supper at Emmaus, which will be on display along with the family of Darius before Alexander and a host of other masterpieces from the 19th of March. Veronese Magnificence in Renaissance Venice is sponsored by Credit Suisse and will run through to June. You can buy tickets from the National Gallery or online with a booking fee at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. Painted when he was only just 19, Velázquez's Christ in the House of Martha and Mary is a virtuoso still life set in a kitchen. The work takes its name from a strange scene in the top right-hand corner of the picture, variously interpreted as a view through a serving hatch or a painting within a painting, which depicts the New Testament story of Christ's visit to the sisters Martha and Mary. But we're going to focus on the cook in the foreground of the picture, who we see hard at work beside a table spread with food. Art historian Carly Allen explained to Cathy Fitzgerald why the young girl and her ingredients may have a particular relevance at this time of year.
Well, like a lot of people, I have been looking at this painting for a long while and I thought I really knew it. But very recently I came across this suggestion that the object on the table relates specifically to Lent, and what seems to be, at first glance, a selection of very ordinary items of food and vessels actually would have added up, for a lot of people at the time, to a typical Lenten dish. Fish simply presented with garlic mayonnaise, aioli. So no frills, nothing special, and as a lot of families did, giving up meat during this period.
And it is a very tactile picture, isn't it? We're not allowed to reach in and touch it, but you do want to, rather.
I think the way that we respond to this picture is really through all the senses. And while we're looking, we are thinking about how that would feel to touch. The fish are wonderfully slippery. They have really jellified eyes. They are arranged in this interlaced pattern. And right next to the fish is a jug that is only half glazed. So if you imagine running your fingers over it, you have the smoothness of the glaze and then the rough quality of the unglazed earthenware. And even there we have the detail of the rings around the jug that reveal how the jug has been made with human hands. So it does seem to be about touching. There is at the front the most wonderful depiction of eggs, I think, in any painting in the Western European tradition. Two eggs that have been placed on this dark glazed plate. There is much debate about the quality of these eggs. Are they eggs in their shells, therefore quite expensive white shelled eggs, or have they been hard-boiled and peeled? Mm. And if you ask a group of people, it usually divides everybody. It seems that people are very
exercised by the eggs.
Very exercised. People believe very firmly one way or the other, which just shows that we are convinced by what Velázquez is trying to do. Either way, he is trying to really he wants us to believe in those eggs.
And the garlic at the front, the very papery garlic.
These smooth, slippery surfaces are contrasted with the crackling skins of the garlic. There's a quite dried up chili. And then the shine on the metal, pestle and mortar. So it does seem that he is presenting this range of textures for us. And perhaps that makes us reconsider the meaning of the very suggestive expression on the younger woman's face as she works on her Lenten meal. Some people read this as a very solemn, almost tearful look. They believe they can just see tears brimming in her eyes. It's a very searching look as she turns away from the ingredients and turns directly to us, as if she's asking us, well, what action will you take? What will you do for Lent?
Carly Allen talking about Christ in the house of Martha and Mary in Room 30. And now to another exhibition in our Renaissance Spring season. Since it opened a few weeks ago, Strange Beauty, Masters of the German Renaissance, has been giving visitors the chance to see some of the gallery's masterpieces in a whole new light. One of the exhibition highlights involves 8 15th century panels. These are usually hung separately around the walls of Room 64, so before the exhibition opened, Deputy Director Susan Foister took Leah Caribbean to see them to explain the unique opportunity the exhibition offers to assemble these panels into something very impressive indeed. She began by describing a particularly beautiful panel by the Master of Lisbon.
Well, it's the story of the Annunciation. So there's an angel on the right-hand side wearing a flowing white robe, and over that a very beautiful cloth of gold cloak. And the angels come to announce to the Virgin Mary in blue on the left that she's going to bear the infant Christ. And they're together in a really beautiful room. It's a depiction of an interior that may reflect what rooms of this type looked like towards the end of the 15th century. It's a very comfortable room. There's a bed and there's a wooden bench with some really comfortable looking cushions on
it. Absolutely fantastic, the cushions. They're beautifully decorated as well.
Yes, they are, and the decorations are quite intriguing. One of them shows a stag in a landscape, and it also reflects some of the decoration of the floor, because there are some rather lovely colourful floor tiles which look rather Spanish style, and there are also leaping stags there. And one of the thoughts around these depictions have been as to whether the stag had particular significance, perhaps for somebody who'd been involved in commissioning the altarpiece, but we can't be certain about that.
Now, you're mentioning an altarpiece, and I think that when most people come to this room, they might well just look at this and appreciate the work as a work on its own. But by the time people are actually listening to this podcast, they'll be seeing this work in a slightly different context. Could you explain?
Yes, this is just one piece of a very large altarpiece, the altarpiece that was commissioned for Lisborn Abbey in Westphalia in northwest Germany in 1465 or soon after that. And we in the National Gallery are lucky to have several pieces of this altarpiece. Some of the fragments are today in the museum in Münster in Westphalia, but sadly some of the other pieces of the altarpiece are lost forever. So in the exhibition, we have the chance to put our pieces together with photographic reproductions of the others that survive in order to show people the scale of this altarpiece. And this is something we can't do in the gallery. It was a very large altarpiece, and as we see it currently in the gallery, I think you don't really get a sense of that. But in the exhibition, there's a chance to show what it really looked like and the way in which it must have impressed the Benedictines for whom it was made in the Abbey of Lisbon.
You can see the reconstruction of the Lisbon altarpiece for yourself from now until May by visiting Strange Beauty, Masters of the German Renaissance. Tickets are available from the National Gallery or online with a booking fee at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. And there's also a special combined offer with our other Renaissance Spring exhibition. Present your Veronese ticket at the ticket desk and see Strange Beauty for only £5. Check the National Gallery website for terms and conditions. That's it for this month. If you're visiting, we're open 10 till 6 daily until 9 on Fridays. Until next time, goodbye.